19, Revelation 19. I'll be considering only the first 8 verses, but I'm going to read the entire chapter. Revelation 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah. And her spoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye meet the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Again, may God help us as we seek to understand his word, even today. You may be seated. There are many ways that the Bible, the Holy Bible, the unique written word of God, shows itself to be the unique written word of God. Now, it requires the sovereign regenerating grace and mercy of God, the Holy Spirit, for someone for whom Christ died to see this and believe this, but this does not eliminate the fact that the Bible clearly shows that it is the unique written word of God. One example, one clear example I could give among many that I could give, showing how the Bible displays itself as the unique word of the everlasting God, is its revealing of things before they take place. Fulfilled prophecy, especially with respect to the coming into this sin-cursed world due to the fall of the historical Adam of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Galatians 4:4-5 declares, But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. Now, time does not permit me to lay before you all the prophecies revealed centuries and millennia before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that he perfectly fulfilled. Where he would be born, revealed centuries before he was born in Bethlehem. When he would be born, as Daniel 9 reveals, how he would be born, to refer to his three truths revealed about the Lord Jesus Christ before they took place. But fulfilled prophecy is not the only way that the Bible shows itself to be the unique and only written word of God. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. I will give two more, the third being what is clearly taught in the verses I have reached in the opening verses of Revelation 19. But a second way that the Bible shows itself to be the unique word of God is it confronts you with or reveals to you the reality of heaven. The reality of heaven. Not a user-definable heaven that men, not being guided by the Bible, talk about. But the heaven obtainable only by the saving power of the living, true, and only God, as the verses I've reached in Revelation 19 clearly show, and as I hope to show in a moment. For truly the Bible reveals and shows its uniqueness by revealing and declaring the reality of a realm, of a reality that cannot be detected by any of the numerous physical instruments that men have developed to detect and measure who knows how many physical things. Especially when you add to this truth the ability to enter this heaven at death or the return of the Lord is something possible only through the sovereign, saving grace and mercy of God. But how many live, if you can call it living, as if this physical and visible world is all there is and all that matters? Because think of it from this perspective. When was the last time you heard any major news outlet mention the reality that this visible world is not all there is and all there ever will be? If I was to ask you what has consumed the thinking and the actions of mankind over the last year and counting, it would not be the reality of the heaven that the Bible reveals, obtainable only by the sovereign saving grace of God. You and I both know what that has been and continues to be so. So I don't even need to make reference to it again. Now, I don't dispute the fact that many non-believers believe in a heaven, one they like to define without listening to the Bible. The non-believer's heaven is not the biblical heaven, obtainable only by the sovereign saving grace of God in Christ. For the numbers who believe that heaven is obtainable simply by dying, or by something they have done or think they can do, should cause anyone who understands the Scriptures to cry out, "Lord, have mercy on such deluded and deceived people." But what do you read in the opening verses of Revelation 19? What do you read in the opening verse of Revelation 19? John heard something. John heard something. He had something revealed to him about that not detectable by an electron microscope, not detectable by a flawed PCR test. But he had something revealed to him. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, "Alleluia." Now, what these after things are, I will refer back to in a moment. But don't rush over. Don't rush over what John is telling you. He is hearing something. And After these things, I heard a great voice of much people. But friends, where was he hearing this great voice of much people from? Where was he hearing it from? A great voice of much people in heaven. In heaven. Jesus is giving to John and his believing people revelation from heaven by those who are there. Revelation not only of the truth that salvation is of the Lord, not only of the Lord's judgment of those who reject the truth that salvation is of the Lord and not man, but also why it is possible for those who are there to be there. And it is not based on anything they have done, despite how this truth is denied in over 45 incorrect English translations or versions of the Bible and their mistranslation of verse 8. Truth I will return to. Now, have you and John, how have you and John already been shown that salvation is of the Lord and not man? By what John is referring to, by the words, and after these things. What after things is John referring to? The clear judgment of God against the soul-destroying false sacramental salvation system known as Romanism, revealed in chapter 18. As I sought to show clearly last Sunday, John was given a vision of papal Rome and what is going to happen to it because of its rejection of justification by faith alone in the finished work of Christ alone. Not only because of its replacing this truth with its false, impossible way of sacramental salvation, but also by its persecuting and killing those who confessed it and its ongoing attempts to undermine the truth that salvation is of the Lord and not man. Through its ongoing support of a one world religion with an antichrist pope as its head. The false sacramental salvation system and Romanism and all other similar systems of salvation by the works of man versus the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be judged. Are going to be judged by the Lord as false and damning. Which is why every true believer who believes that salvation is of the Lord is to come out of such false systems of salvation seen preeminently in the false Roman church state system as declared in just verses 4 to 8 of Revelation 18. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her, even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sore give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judgeth her. Why will the Lord finally judge this false system of salvation? The last statement of chapter 18, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. What do the opening verses of chapter 19 reveal to you? The attitude of those in heaven to this coming judgment of God against this false way of salvation. Now, this coming judgment is not something those John is hearing from in heaven. This is not something that those in heaven are indifferent towards. Not something they are neutral towards. Not something they are opposed to. Not at all. Why do I say this? What word is found only four times? What word is found only four times in the whole Bible? And those four times are in these verses. It's the word, alleluia. It's the word, alleluia. Now, The word is transliterated from the Greek, simply meaning that English letters replace the Greek letters. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh or praise Jehovah. A great voice of much people in heaven saying, praise the living, true, and only God for the truth that He is the God of their salvation. And not themselves or anyone else. Notice its first use, verse 1, after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Second use, verse 3, and again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And friends, if ever you wanted one verse that shows you how eternally fatal believing in any system of salvation other than the sovereign saving grace of Almighty God, here is such a verse. Here is such a verse. With heaven's alleluia. Third use, verse 4, and the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, alleluia. Fourth use, verse 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. For what is John hearing? What is he hearing? Revealed to Christ's churches on earth. Revealed to Christ's people on earth. And ultimately revealed to the world, although the world does not want to hear it or believe it. But we are having revealed to us heaven's perspective. We are having revealed to us heaven's perspective, the attitude, the reaction of those who are there to the truth that salvation is of the Lord and not of man. What's that reaction? Hallelujah. What's that reaction to the truth that salvation is of the Lord from heaven's perspective? Hallelujah. But how many, not just in false Roman Catholic churches, but in any and all churches, are there today who foolishly and dangerously think that they are saved or will be saved because of something they have done or doing or think that they can do? And add to this sobering number the number of works salvation religions in the world today, like Islam, to just name one. All these salvation by the works of fallen sinner man, despite this great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For consider with me in a little more detail three things about this revealed truth. First, heaven's alleluia that salvation is of the Lord God. Second, heaven's alleluia of God's judgment of those who reject that salvation is of the Lord God. And third, heaven's revelation of how or why the saved of the Lord are able to be there. So first, heaven's alleluia. That salvation is of the Lord God. Verse 1 again. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Notice, the voice of saved and glorified sinners are not praising anyone else but the Lord for their salvation. Salvation unto the Lord our God, the glory of the salvation unto the Lord our God, the honor of that salvation to the Lord our God, the power of that salvation unto the Lord our God. In talking with a person, the minute they start talking about something they have done or think they can do to make themselves fit for the glory of heaven, you know you are listening to someone who has not heard or believed this alleluia of those who are there. As to whom the praise of the salvation of a lost sinner is due, the Lord alone. In my pilgrimage as a believer and in the ministry, I've had people say to me, oh, you're all set because you're a pastor or you're a preacher. And I've had to tell them,
If I'm basing my salvation on my preaching, I'm on my way to hell. And I deserve to be on my way to hell. Salvation is of the Lord God. Hallelujah! The Lord alone saves. Jesus illustrates this right and wrong understanding of salvation in that parable in Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. No one in heaven is going to be praising themselves for what they have done to merit or deserve heaven. Hallelujah! Salvation unto the Lord our God. But how many edifices of error are there in the world today, filled with people thinking that something they have done or can do contributes to or is the deciding factor in their ability to be saved and enter heaven when they die? May the Lord enable them to hear the voice of the people there before they die. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. But second, not only do they need to hear the great voice of much people in heaven, they need to hear heaven's hallelujah to God's judgment of the false system of salvation preeminently seen in Romanism. Verses 2 and 3, for true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. This lost religious world is awed by the false system of salvation known as Romanism. But friends, heaven isn't. Heaven is not. It is awed by God's judgment of it. Those there are praising the Lord for His judgment of it. Judged not just for her false way of salvation, her non-way of salvation, but for the fact she persecuted unto death how many who confess the truth that salvation is of the Lord and not of man. A judgment that others in heaven lift their hallelujahs up to God for as well. Verse 4, and the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, Amen, hallelujah. But this is something God Himself has no problem telling those hearing this proclamation of heaven, that this is what they should be doing. Verse 5, and a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. If you are in sync with the glorified saints and with Almighty God, you are praising God for the truth that salvation is of Him and Him alone. Both small and great, the most insignificant person in the world from this world's perspective needs to realize and confess that salvation is of the Lord and not man. And the greatest person in the world from the world's perspective needs to realize and confess that salvation is of the Lord and not of man. From the perspective of heaven, it takes the almighty power of the Lord to enable a sin-blinded, devil-deceived sinner to see and confess the truth that salvation is of the Lord and not man. Verse 6, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Without the Lord, there would be no saved sinners. Truth brought out in my third point, heaven's perspective of how the saved of the Lord are able to be there. Heaven's perspective of how the saved of the Lord are able to be there. Truth declared in verses 7 and 8, but grievously marred by how many works salvation mistranslations of verse 8. truth I will return to. But who does heaven reveal will be glad and rejoice as they sing their alleluias and give honor to the one who has enabled them to be there. The redeemed bride of Christ, made up of those he died to redeem from every tribe and people and language and tongue. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife hath made herself ready. Every redeemed and saved sinner will know when the marriage supper of the Lamb comes to pass in the sovereignty of God that their ability to be there will be solely because of the finished work of Christ for them. Having come to him and him alone for the righteousness that he alone can clothe them with, as pictured by what every redeemed sinner will be arrayed in. Verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Oh, the utter folly of any form of works righteousness salvation. The righteousness of saints is not something they obtain by something they do. It is something they are given because of the finished work of Christ for them. It is something you are arrayed in, believer, because of Christ, not something you array yourself in. Notice, to her was granted. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Not something you array yourself in, but something you are arrayed in by someone else. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. This fine linen cannot be anything the redeemed sinner has done or thinks he can do. It is a picture of the imputed or credited to him or her by the amazing free and sovereign grace of God, the perfect righteousness of Christ. The perfect righteousness of Christ that a believer lays hold of by God's gift of saving faith. Why do I say this? Five biblical reasons. Why do I say this? First, what does Isaiah 61:10 say? I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh herself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Second, what does Isaiah 64:6 state? But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, not our unrighteousnesses, but all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Third, why is the man in Matthew 22 cast out? Because he didn't have on a wedding garment. Because he didn't have on a wedding garment is pictured by the fine linen of Revelation 19:8, Matthew 22:11 to 13. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. How many, even in churches, do not think they need the imputed righteousness of Christ to make themselves acceptable to God? A grievous soul-destroying error, aided and abetted by incorrect translations that I have yet to explain. Fourth, 2 Corinthians 5:21, For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And fifth, what did Paul call all the things he prided himself in prior to coming to see his absolute need of the righteousness found only in Christ? What did he call them? He called them dung. He called them dung. Philippians 3:8-9, Yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In order for believers to be able to enter and enjoy the holy glories of heaven in the presence of the thrice holy God, they must be clothed in a righteousness not their own. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints, the Lord our righteousness. Now you might be wondering why I'm stressing this truth. I will tell you why. I've shown you 5 verses of Scripture supporting the truth of justification by faith alone in the finished work of Christ alone, the imputed or credited righteousness of Christ by faith to a believing sinner. Why have I stressed this? Listen. Listen to how this verse, verse 8, is mistranslated in 46 out of 60 English translations available today. Over 75% of English Bibles, if you want to call them Bibles today, despite the 5 examples that I gave that destroy this false and heretical mistranslation of the last statement of verse 8. And I will use just 3 of the more well-known mistranslations to describe what I mean that are seen in the other 43 as well. What do you read in the King James Version? Verse 8, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." Now hear the ESV, the English Standard Version. "It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." Doesn't that change the whole meaning of the verse? Now hear the NIV. "Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear." Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Now hear the New King James Version. "And to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." What did I say was being pictured by the frog coming out of the mouth of the false prophet back in Revelation 16? An assault on the authority and the sufficiency of Scripture. What about the assault on the perfect imputed righteousness of Christ that alone makes a believer able to stand before God in glory, when 46 of 60 English versions of the Bible mistranslate the end of verse 8? Versions used by those calling themselves evangelical and reformed. They preach justification by faith alone and the finished work of Christ alone, but deny this truth by using versions that deny it. Because I ask you, are glorified saints going to be looking at what they've done? Are they going to be looking at what they have done in the robes they are clothed in to make them fit for heaven, or what the Lord Jesus Christ alone could have done and did for His people? "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." Friends, the testimony of heaven is that salvation is of the Lord alone. Do you agree or disagree with those declaring their alleluias to the Lord in heaven, that your salvation is of the Lord and not of yourself? Those in heaven praise and thank the Lord for what He alone could have done and did for them, namely, save them. Do you say amen to their alleluias? Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for the testimony of heaven. We need to hear that testimony in a world where men think they can make themselves fit to meet You, when the only one who can make us fit to meet You is Your only begotten Son. May that be our alleluia and our amen today. In His wonderful name, amen.